Okay, all right. Wednesday evening, 3:27-24. We're going to look at the office of the prophet. This is going to be part five. We're going to get into the New Testament. All right. Amos 3:7, just going to recap a little bit. Amos 3:7. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. The word revealeth means to reveal, to advertise. I don't know what some of these words mean, but anyway, appear, bereave, bring, carry, lead, go, captive, depart, disclose, discover, exile, be gone, open, plainly publish, or remove. Okay. A man is called a prophet, a woman is a prophetess, but for the sake of prophetess, we'll just say prophet. We'll just use the word prophet, okay? Two kinds of prophets, according to Rick Renner, those that hear and those that see. All right. Prophets were also referred to as seers. They see visions. Prophet here is to prophesy, speak, or sing by inspiration and prediction or simple disclosure, an inspired man or woman. Okay, with that, we're going to look at 2 Peter 1. Starting with verse 18 there. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, till the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scriptures of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Which, you know, what they see on the mount? Moses and Elijah, both prophets from the old covenant. Okay. All right, the analogy of a ship with sails and no wind goes nowhere. When the Holy Spirit shows up, it's like a mighty wind. It catches the sails of the prophet and God's message is brought forth. See, they speak for God. We're going to look at the New Testament prophets in this teaching. Got quite a few scriptures. In the Old Testament, the prophet had the Spirit upon them, but in the New Testament, the Spirit is within. The prophets declare to God's people what he is going to do. You know, if we want to know what's going on in our world today, the church should be looking to the prophets, not to the news, to the prophets, programmers. I mean, it's okay if the truthers, if they say things and it's confirmed, but God is our source. He knows what's going on. He knows everything. All right, the prophets declare to God's people what he's going to do. The secrets are mysteries of God. Mysteries of God. All right, Jesus was a prophet. We're going to look at him just a little bit. Matthew 13. Start with verse 11 there. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables. Because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes, and they have closed. lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. Just a few of special ones that got it. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. What's sad about the Old Testament prophets, everything they prophesied mainly was about this kingdom. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. We're talking about mysteries here. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. And this is the parable of the sower. It's just in Matthew. It's also in Luke. But it's just a little bit, it's just different from what Mark was saying right here. Let's read that 19 again. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one. Mark says, you know, Satan comes to steal the word. This is talking about if you don't have understanding, he can take it. And catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. But he that receiveth the seed into stony places is the same as he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Now he's talking about the mysteries of the kingdom here. Let's keep going. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. This mystery is being revealed right now in our time, right here. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. All right, let's keep going. Another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. Which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundations of the world. So Jesus, this is prophetic, what he's saying. These are the mysteries of the kingdom. That's what prophets bring forth, the mysteries of God. These are from the mind of God. All right, you can go back and read if you want to. A mystery is simply a secret. You know, you have no understanding about certain things, and then all of a sudden, you get a revelation. That's what the prophets do. All right. A parable is a similitude or fictitious narrative of common life. So Jesus was telling stories. A lot of people thought they were just stories, but they had something to do with real life. He was trying to do kind of a life application story to get them to understand. All right, with that, let's turn to Romans chapter 11. Starting with verse 1 there. Give me a drink. I hope I'm going to be able to do all these scriptures tonight. I don't know. All right. Chapter 11. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I am also an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Want ye not what the scripture saith of Elias? How he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I reserve to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, works is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. See, they didn't get it then. According as it is written, God had given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back alway. And I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall salvation is coming to the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, they don't even get this today. There is such a big difference between Gentile and Jew, still to this day. But part of this mystery is God was taking that down. This is portrayed by the prophets. This is what they said, standing for God, telling of what's coming. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world and the diminishing of them, the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, and as much as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh and might save some of them. He was an apostle to the Gentiles, but he was a Jew. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? And for if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. I mean, there's a mess going on right now. Half are siding with the Palestinians and half are siding with the Jews. Yeah. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. See, all this is to bring them to bring, well, it says, the scripture says, that they'd get jealous. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fail severity. But toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happening to Israel. We ought to be praying for the Israelites to see the truth until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. But this is my covenant unto them, which I shall take away their sins, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. What we should be standing against is the deep state. They're the ones that have sabotaged the Jews and the Christians and everyone else. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how searchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. So this is this mystery that God revealed through the prophets that they're trying to relay here in the Old Covenant. All right. Here the mystery is unfolding of the joining of God's people, Jew and Gentile. Like I said, they're still stumbling over the stumbling stone, Jesus. You know, we can get so set in our religious minds that we miss it completely, and that's what's happening to the Jews. And he said, you know, they're blind for a time. All right, let's go to Ephesians. We see this more so in the book of Ephesians. You really see it. Ephesians 2:14. See, this is the branch. The prophets prophesied in the Old Covenant. The branch. Who's the branch? Jesus. All right. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore we are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for habitation of God through the Spirit. All right, this is that mystery. Okay, Romans chapter 16. I guess it would be hard when all they knew was the physical. They didn't really have any grasp of the spiritual. But that's what Jesus came to do, to show them that side of it. This is Romans 16, 25 and 26. But now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Okay. Let's keep on motoring. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Start with verse 6 there. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but by the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. I'm just reading you the scriptures about the mystery. All right, that's how the Lord led today. All right, this is 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 and 2. It said, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. The prophets are the stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in servants or stewards that a man be found faithful. All right, the prophet is a steward. A steward is a house distributor or a manager, an overseer. I like it says overseer, like prophets are called seers, an employee, a fiscal agent, or a treasurer. So God gives the words to the prophet. The prophet's obligated to deliver that word just like God tells them to. Okay. God's treasure, his secrets revealed. The prophet cannot just sit on these things, but as the wind of the Holy Spirit hits their sails, they must release God's secrets. All right, well, in a later teaching, we'll get into the gifts of the Spirit that operate through the prophet that help with that, okay? Whether a person likes it or not, I've told you before that some people have not received God's word to them. It's not the prophet's problem, whether they receive it or not. It is the prophet's responsibility to be a good steward and to deliver God's message. As the Lord's voice or mouthpiece, the person in essence is offended at God and so tries not to take it personally. That's what, as a prophet, you have to get used to. If you think you're prophetic, you might as well get ready. You're probably going to get some rebuffing. People saying they don't believe you or whatever. Well, you know, if you're being a spokesperson for somebody else, then really you're not the target. They're targeting God when they do that. All right. On the other hand, let's turn to Matthew 10. Those that receive the prophet are rewarded. You know, we read in the Old Covenant about, I believe it was Elisha, that the woman, he'd come to town and she had a room for him and, you know, and took care of him when he's in town. And then she got blessed with a son in her old age, and then the child died. And so she went to the prophet and he restored the child. So that was a prophet's reward. All right, this is Matthew 10, 40. He that receiveth you receiveth me. He that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. All right. It seems that the office of the prophets are the ones that get the most persecution. They speak for God and people get mad at them. Jesus said this. This is Matthew 23 himself. Matthew 23:29. It says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers? How can ye escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them ye shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zacharias, the son of Berechias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate." Okay, I don't need to read that part. All right, that's the end of that one. All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians 16. A couple of Old Testament scriptures. 2 Chronicles 16, 22. I mean, after doing this study, I've come to the conclusion myself, I don't care who they are, if they're a prophet, I'm not going to say a negative thing about them, because you know what? I don't know what they know. I'm in my lane. I know what God's shown me, but I don't know what God has shown them. And so lest I step out and I do something I shouldn't do, I'm going to keep my mouth shut. That's just a wise thing to do. You know, until you go to the Lord about it, and the Lord tells you what's going on. All right. This is 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles 16. This is the only office that God has said you got to be careful about. All right, this is what you do to them. First Chronicles, I'll get there. Hold on. First Chronicles 16. All right, this is 16:22. Saying, "Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm." Now, in the Old Covenant, the king, the priest, and the prophet were the only ones that were. Did you find it?
First Chronicles,
chapter 16, verse 22. Well, I'm reading it. It's in there. Yeah, okay. All right. All right, let's go to now Psalms 105:15, which basically says the same thing. Saying, "Touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm." Moreover, he called upon a famine upon the land. You know, back when we had our church incident way back many years ago, a couple of years after that happened, never heard from anybody, after all that, never saw anybody, never heard from anybody, except for this lady. And it's like every time I went to Walmart, she would be in the store and she'd see me every time. And this went on for months and months and months and months. One day we get a phone call and they ask if they can come over, and they sat down and apologized for what they said and what they did. She said, "We've had a curse on our house ever since for 2 years." Yeah. So, anyway, yeah. Thank God they did. It's to their benefit, you know. So I'd be careful of criticizing prophets and anybody, even fivefold ministry gifts, because we have. I mean, we have met over the years. We've seen so much church mess, and we've got into the little groups that talk bad about people and stuff, and, you know, we didn't know any better. But, you know, I look and see how serious it is, and I wonder sometimes, maybe some of the things we went through we wouldn't have gone through if we'd have known this then, you know. I said, well, I want to be careful because there's a lot of stuff being said out there, a lot of people saying a lot of things, and a lot of them I don't agree with, but I'm thinking, I don't know what they know. Maybe they know something I don't know. So I'd do better to say, okay, Lord, what are you saying about this? About this. Anytime you get a word from anybody, you ought to do that anyway. You ought to say, okay, Lord, what do you say about what they're saying? Okay. All right, 1 Corinthians 14. Starting with verse 26 there. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying. And if any speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. This is church order here. But if one be, if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God, and let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. I was telling Jackie about that prophet I was telling you about, I won't say the name, that when a lot of these younger prophets came out with stuff and things didn't happen the way they were supposed to, like the election, he asked them, being an older prophet, being doing this a long time, asked them to apologize, to come out and own up to what they had said and what they did, and a lot of them wouldn't do it. And he just flat said, then you don't need to be in ministry. I'm going, boy, that's pretty strong, but I mean, I guess it's a good thing. Because, you know, then you'd be, as a prophet, you would be careful and make sure that you're hearing from God before you opened your mouth about it. Yeah. All right, let the prophets speak two or three and let the other judge. That's what he's wanting them to do. Let's judge your word, your prophecy, you know, by other prophets. Especially those, I guess, that got it right. All right. And if anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. All right. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. You are in control. You can't ever say, well, I just couldn't help it. No, it says here the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. You're in complete control of what you're doing. Can you pray in tongues, turn it on and off when you want? Then you can do that too. All right. 1 Corinthians 13, 2, go back a little bit. Right here. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, in all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. In other words, if you're one of these that wants to stand up and hog the floor and everything's about what you say and nobody else has a say, then you're not walking in love. I've heard others talk about, like, if they're in an assembly or whatever they're doing and an older minister is on the scene, they'll defer to them. No matter what they have, they will defer out of respect. You know, if Brother Hagin walked in here today, I'd say, hey, come up here. You got more to say than I could ever say. Yeah. That's just walking in love. Like, no, we don't have it all. We have a part. That's it. All right. Love is the motivation. All right. 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Now, Paul was an apostle, but I think, you know, he'd kind of dropped the prophet, or he was a prophet before he was an apostle. Acts chapter 13 indicates he was among the prophets. So, I guess he dropped the title of prophet. I don't know, because you never hear him mentioning the prophetic. You just hear him saying apostle. But anyway, right here, it says, behold, I show you a mystery. These are the mysteries of God. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Is Trump the last trump? For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. I'm looking forward to that time. Okay, so Paul had that revelation. All right, let's keep going. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. You know, these Ephesians prayers is about, as a believer, you receiving that revelation of that mystery. So you don't have to have a prophet to tell it to you. You can do that because of your born-again spirit. Okay, Ephesians 3. Verse 3, I mean, these Ephesians prayers are powerful. All right. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. Talking about God gave him this mystery. Wherefore, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. I know, see, the church, the Jews, most of them didn't understand it. Paul got the revelation of it. That's what we walk in, live in today, the epistles. As it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That's why God's returning the apostle and prophet to the church. The church has lost its way. That last word I had, that's what that was about, or the one before, I don't remember. The church has lost its way. Like Kim Clement said, he said, we've got to have apostolic Christianity. It's the return to this, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers. All I've seen is a divide. Now there are some Jews that have become born again. Fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world, this has always been God's plan, hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ. That's always been God's plan. That's always what he wanted. Wasn't that the way Adam was? All right. Okay, let's keep going. How long have I gone? Because I don't want to.
39 minutes.
Okay, let's keep going. Ephesians 5, 22. Here's another mystery. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for as the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. See, the men lay down their lives for the wife, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Okay. It's a mystery. All right. Colossians. Wait a minute. Ephesians 6, 19 and 20. Then Colossians. Paul is asking, this is after the Ephesians prayer here. Not the Ephesians prayer, but about our warfare. He says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to speak or to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So he'd go around speaking and he'd get himself in trouble. He needed prayer. Okay, now, Colossians 1. Wherefore I'm made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. All right, go to Colossians 4. Well, no, Colossians 2. Let's read Colossians 2, the first three verses. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Colossians chapter 4, 3 and 4. Withal, praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. All right. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We might make it here. Starting with verse 7 there. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believeth not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. All right, 1 Timothy. This is chapter 3, verse 8. All right, what did I do? 8. Okay. All right, let's do 8 and 9. Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up to glory. All right, three more. Revelation 1:20. The revelation of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. The seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Wow, it's a mystery. Revelation 10. Verse 7. But in the day of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, this is the last trumpet here, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. I like that scripture. All right, one more, Revelation 17. All right, verses 5 through 7. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. When I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. It's been a mystery for all these thousands of years since Jesus, 2,000 years. And in this time, is this mystery has been revealed. So we can see it. All right, that's going to be it.